Right, yesterday we finished off with the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir believes that whether it's notein tam l'shevach or notein tam l'pgam, it's asur. Whereas Rabbi Shimon who holds that only notein tam l'shevach is asur, whereas notein tam l'pgam is mutar. So about their machlokes, we are going to have a statement today. We're going to have a statement by Ula and Rabbi Yochanan about their machloket. So on the top of Samachet Amud Aleph, four lines down, it says, Amar Ula, machloket shihishbiach ulusof pogem. Aval pogem mi'ikara divrei hakol mutar. The machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon revolves around whether hishbiach, first it gave benefit or a better flavor, ulusof pogem, in the end it was deleterious. Aval pogem mi'ikara, if in, from the beginning it was deleterious, detrimental to the flavor, divrei hakol, then it is mutar. Now, based on what we said yesterday, in the Psukim already, we had a drasha that it seems like from Rabbi Shimon that everything was mutar, and from Rabbi Meir that everything was asur. So Tosfos comments on here and says that Ula has to say, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir are not arguing on the Psukim that they brought. Because if they are really arguing in the Psukim, then you really can't say what Ula says, because the Psukim determined, and we saw before, that Rabbi Shimon says, I learned out from Nevela, so anything that is Pogain is Mutar, that's even if it's Hishbiach of the Sof Pogain, and the other way around, Rabbi Meir says, I learned it out from Gilei of the Chamim, that any Pagama is still problematic, because I have that from Gilei of the Chamim. So you couldn't make a statement. So Tosfos says that Ula, it says B'Svara Plige. There's a Svara here about what their Machlokas is about, and what's that Svara? The Svara about whether it's first Ishbiach or the Sof Pogain. And that's, so Tosfos lays that, I'll just read you the Svar. Rav Meir Savar, Kimin Shishbiach Mikara B'Shat Nefila, since when it fell in, it caused a better flavor. V'chali Sur Alei. And already is now a Sur. Shuv Ein Lo Heter. There is no way to make it Heter again. Gam Ki Pogam Achareken. Even if it becomes Pogain afterwards, once the Isser is there, you can't change it. Rav Shimon Savar came to Hashta Pagmo Ushari. So that because now it's pogame, then it's already mutar. So it's a logical argument rather than what the Psukim said before going to Tosfot. So Eikle Rav Chaga Lu'ula, Yayin Shnafalu Toch Adashim, V'chomets Shnafalu Toch Yisim. So if Yayin Nesech that fell into lentils, or vinegar that fell into legumes, which we saw in our Mishnah, Asur, V'Rabbi Shimon Matir. This is a case that pogam mi'ikarahu, that it's bad, it's deleterious, it's detrimental to the flavor right away. Ufligi, and we sit there arguing. You just said that when it comes to pogam mi'ikara, everybody agrees that it's mutar. But over here you see Rabbi Meir saying that pogam mi'ikara is asur. It's Rabbi Shimon's matir, but still Rabbi Meir argues in him. So, Amarulo Chaga Lomeda Yoda Maikamri Rabbanan. You don't know what the Rabbanan say. It's Yuftaka motive, and then you're asking questions from it. Hachamai Skinan. What's this case over here? Kagon Shinat Father Tokri Simtsoninim. They fell into cold legumes. Vihir Ticham, and then he heated them up. That's what we had yesterday. Nasek Kamoshi Shbiach, Ulusof Pogim, Vasur. That's what we discussed yesterday, that there's a difference. When vinegar falls into a hot pot, then it's deleterious, it's detrimental to the flavor right away. That's no tain tam l'pgam. Whereas if it falls into cold legumes, we saw yesterday that we had three quotes, one from Amar Yehuda Mishmol, then we had Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rav Dimi, all saying that was a dish, that was a good dish. They used to make it on Erev Shabbos called Shechlayim. So that's a positive. But that up front it's positive, but if then they heat the dish up, then it becomes a negative. So that's exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about Hishbiach Lusof Pogain. That's where I said there is a machokas. That's where there is a machokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, is in the case where up front it's good, and then only later on does it deteriorate. So that was exactly where I said there's a machokas, and right, there is a machokas over here. So now Rabbi Yochanan argues on Ula and says, but Pogain Ikara Machloket. Even if it's pogam from the outset, that's where their machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is. So you buy the whole bipogam yikara machloket, aval yishbiach v'sof pagam or pogam divrei hakol asur. Do we say that when we're talking about pogam yikara, that's where there's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir? But if it's up front, it's yishbiach, and in the end it's pogam, everybody will agree that it's asur. Even Rabbi Shimon in that case will agree that it's asur. Oh, Dilma ben bezu uben bezu machloket. Or maybe the machlokes extends to both. And the machlokes is both in when it's pogem ikara and when it's ishbiach ulusof pogem. So that's what we leave. The Gemara leaves that as a teku. We don't know. Even though the Gemara, by the way, we're going to turn the page and there's going to be a bright and we're going to know the answer to this question. It also says that we have that many times in the Gemara. The Gemara will end up with a teku, and then afterwards it'll come to a solution. It'll find a solution somewhere else. But at this point in the base medrash, when they were discussing it, they didn't have an answer to the question. So Amar of Amram, Efshar ita the hadra of Yochanan, lo tanya lo b'matnitin. Is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan's position that he states over here is not found anywhere in a Tanaic work? Nafak dok v'ashkach. He went out and found the Tanaim, we have a Mishnah. Se'or shel chulin shenafalu toch isa. You have yeast that fell of chulin that falls into a dough. Yesh bo kedei l'hachmitz. It has the ability to cause the dough to rise. V'achmitza, and it did so. V'achakach nafal se'or shel truma. After it already risen to the full extent it needs to with the chulin there, then you have yeast from truma that falls in. Oh, sor shel kilea kerem, or kilea kerem, both of which are problems of truma is only a problem in achila, kilea kerem is a problem of achila and hana. V'yesh bo kedei l'achmitz. Now this new Easter also has the ability to call it to fully rise. Asur. Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says it's mutar. V'ha'cha de pogim mi karahu uplige. Over here, from the moment the Easter falls in, it's detrimental. The bread has already risen with the chulin yeast that's in there. It needs not to rise anymore. And soon as the Easter falls in, it causes it to overrise, and it's going to cause something negative to happen to the dough that's there. So over here, you see a machlokas between Tanakamu, which is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon. And here we're talking about a case of pogem miikara. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says, but pogem miikara, machlokas.
And it's a
tiyuv tanula. Shiny Isa, ho biruya lechameya ba kamisot acherot. So Rabbi Zera's answer will also solve the problem for Ula, which is that Isa is different because even though it ruins it from the eating perspective, you can no longer eat this dough, you're not going to bake this dough anymore, it actually does make it into a rising agent now. It overrose and now becomes, the whole unit now becomes a rising agent that you can use in other isot. So true, it's not good for eating anymore, but you've actually made it into a rising agent that can be used in other doughs. So you have a positive aspect to it, even a negative aspect. The negative aspect is the achila. The positive aspect is that it can now be used. So now we'll call that. The question is, which trumps? Do we worry about the achila side of it, or do we worry about the shevach side of it? Which dictates over here? And that'll be the difference between the opinions. So maybe you can't prove anything to Rabbi Yochanan. When it says Tashma, all right, let's look at it from this perspective. So or shel truma veshel chulin shnaflu l'toch ha'isa. Simultaneously, a truma and chulin, yeast that falls into the dough. Bezekedei l'chakmitz or bezekedei l'chakmitz. Each one independently has the ability to cause the dough to rise. Vechimtu, and it went ahead and caused it to rise. Asur, Rabbi Shimon matir. Rabbi Shimon says it's fine. Nofel shel trumach tchila, the truma went in first, divrei hakol asur. Nafol shel chulin, v'achar kach nafol shel truma, the chulin went in first, and then only afterwards the truma, o shel kilay kerem, or afterwards it's kilay kerem, either one where it's a problem, asur, then it's asur. Rabbi Shimon in that case is matir. V'ahocha, the poga miyikara, upligei. So over here again, like David just said, this is the same type of case where it's poga miyikara, and they argue. So what are you going to say? Hachanami, we'll answer like Rabbi Zera. We'll answer the same way we did before. That's what Rabbi Zera says, that we're here, we're talking about, you're right. Einu Hachanami, this is Pogem B'Yikara, but there's a benefit that comes out of it, that you can use it as a rising agent after this point in time. So Tashma Miseifa. That's not the end of the Braita. There's more to it. Ayayin Shinafalo Toch Adashim, V'chome Shinafalo Toch Risim, Asur. Rabbi Shematir. V'ha Hachanami, the Pogem B'Yikara, Pligei. So you have the vinegar falling into the legumes or the wine into the dashim, and here it's pogem ikara. And Rabbi Shimon says, mutar. And Rabbi Meir says that it's asur. So here you have pogem ikara. And there's a machalokas over here. So that's like Rabbi Yochanan. Why don't we answer it like Ula? It's Rabbi Chaga. That was a case that was cold up front, and then he heated it later. So that's how I can answer this up. Umi plige b'shishbiach of the sof pogame. Do they really argue in the case where it's at front, it's good, and the end, it's pogame? Faktani. What about the case beforehand, which is nafal shel truma tchila divrei akol asur? And when the truma falls in first, everybody agrees that that is asur. So that's a case where it's hishbiach up front, and then later on it's pogame. So here, when you have hishbiach usof pogame divrei akol asur. So how can you say the machlokas in the latter part of the brisa is about hishbiach usof pogame and say that that's the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir? We already had a statement between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir that says divrei akol asur when it comes to hishbiach usof pogame. Why is this hishbiach usof pogame? It's because the truma falls in, causes the brood to rise the proper amount. Then later on, the chulin joins it, and together the two of them cause it to rise further and ruin the bread. Originally, the truma contributes to the fact that the bread rises properly.
Yeah.
Then, when you have the chulin fall,
that's
ishbiach. Now, when the chulin sower falls in, it together with the truma causes it to go bad. Now, the two of them cause it to go bad. Ella lav shmina must be become pogem miikara machloket shomina. So, must be that they're arguing in pogem miikara. So if that's the case, that's like Rabbi Yochanan who says that pogem ikara is the machlokes, not like Ulo who said pogem ikara divrei akol mutar. So now the Gemara says hani tlata bavei diktana lomali. So now the Gemara goes back to the sect of Braita and understand the Braita actually has four bavot. The Gemara is going to call it three bavot. What are the three bavot of the Braita? Well, the last bava, the final one, is the one we just read, which is the yayin falls into the adashim, the chometz into the grisim. The first one was where the truma and the chulin fall in simultaneously. The middle two bavot, the Gemara considers one, where one is where the truma fell first, then the chulin, or then the chulin fell, and then the truma. So those are the three bavot of the Braita. Gemara wants to know what do I need to know from each one of them. Bishlam abova the seifa. What do I need the last category here, which is the chometz, the toch b'sim? What do I need that for? Kamash v'lam b'pogem mi'ikara machloket. That's the case of pogem mi'ikara, and we see that's the machlokes. That's what we just proved from that last section of the Braita. Mitziat anami, the middle case I need to know, hishbiach uluso pogem divrei akol asur. So, here we see in the middle case of the Braita, that when a case when it's hishbiach up front, and then in the end it's pogem, divrei akol asur. By the way, that answers the question of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, we had a take on Rabbi Yochanan whether the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon is only in pogem b'ikara, but ishbiach l'sof pogem divrei akol asur, or is the machlokas apply? Here you have the Braita solving the problem. The Braita tells you that machlokas is only in pogem b'ikara, but ishbiach l'sof pogem divrei akol asur. So even though the Gemara ended with the teiku before, now we have a Braita that does give us a solution to that problem. The Gemara once says, El Reisho Lomali. What do I need the first case in the Braita for? Hashta umas seifa delo mikamisha beach klau asrei rabbanon. That here in the seifa where there is no shevach whatsoever, the rabbanon say asur. Reisha dekamisha beach mibayi. The Reisha case where there's also shevach involved. What do I need when the truma and the chulin fall together? What do I need that for? So I said, I'm Rabbi Reisha the Rabbi Shimon itzrich. I need the Reisha for Rabbi Shimon. Because there, Rabbi Shimon says mutar. And this is where we're going to have to explain it. Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to ishbiach, ulusof, pogim, we just saw asur. Yet in the Reisha case, where the Chum and the Chulim fall in simultaneously, Rabbi Shimon is matir. Isn't that a case of ishbiach, ulusof, pogim? According to Rabbanan, fine, that doesn't matter, because they think everything is problematic, or the Rabbi Meir, because everything is problematic. According to Rabbi Shimon, who said, greed, when it's Yishbiach Lusof Pogim, it's Asur in the middle case, then why in the first case does he not say the same thing, that it's Yishbiach Lusof Pogim? Because here you have the Chulin and the Chuma dropped together, they cause it to be beneficial up front, and then there's too much, and then they cause it to deteriorate afterwards. So that's what the Rabbanan asked Rabbi Shimon. It would have risen in 2 hours. Isur. Why is it rising much faster? Because of the Isur that's there. Rabbi Shimon, so that's what you were asking before. You see the Gemara clearly views it this way. That up front, yes, they both accelerate the rising. But once they also do the other fact, which is that they continue to rise. It doesn't stop at an hour. It'll go for 2 hours anyway, and then it'll deteriorate. It'll cause a detrimental effect on the dough. So true, if they pulled it out after an hour, ain't no chanami that the Isur contributed. But on the other hand, it stays there for the same amount of time it would have before, and now it's a detrimental effect. So true, originally both of them caused it to be good, and in the end they both caused it to deteriorate. So Mar says, Li Rabbi Shimon Litzarif Heter V'Isur B'Hadadi V'Litzar. So why don't you say that the Heter and the Isur are Mitzarif together and make it a Sur? So Mar says, Rabbi Shimon Tamei, the Mar Afilu Isur V'Isur, Namalo Mitzarif. Shimon's according to his own reason, and he thinks that even by Isur and Isur, two Isurim, Chatzi Kazait cannot be Mitzarif. And certainly he's not going to say Chatzi Isur and Chatzi Heter are Mitzarif, to cause it to come together, to be, make it into Shabbach, and then to be Pogim Basov. There is a principle of Heter Mitzarif Yisur, which is, Gemara will get to in Chulin, that we say that when there is Heter together jointly, if Heter and Yisur together, that maybe the Heter becomes a part of the Yisur, and together they become a total package of Yisur. We have to ask, which is, we know Rabbi Shimon holds, Zebzeh Goreim is Mutar. So why don't we see over here, you have Truma, you have Chulin yeast, coming together, and you have Zeb Zeb Goreim. So why doesn't Rabbi Shimon just answer, Zeb Zeb Goreim is Mutar? So Tosfos says another principle. Right, so over here it is doing the same thing. Tosfos made that distinction earlier on Zeb Zeb Goreim, and that would be over here, make it even more Zeb Zeb Goreim. Both yeasts cause it to rise, and they are functioning the same way, so it should be Zeb Zeb Goreim. Tosfos makes another distinction further in that effect, which is this. So Tosfos says, it's only if each one of them individually could have done the whole process. If each one independently can do the process, then there is no more gezev zeh goreim. Afilu demanda shari hotom osar acha. Even though it holds zeh zeh goreim mutar normally over here, since each one by itself could have done the function, then coming together doesn't make it zeh zeh goreim anymore. And zeh doing it, and zeh doing it. It's not zeh zeh goreim anymore. That's Tosfos qualifies it more about this idea of zeh zeh goreim. So now, if that's the case, we have, according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says the first case is different than the second case. In the second case, you have Hishbiach, or the Sof Pogim, because there the Chulin, or the Truma fell in first by itself, caused it the Hishbiach. Then when the Chulin joined it, it continued to rise, and it's Pogim. Over there, Hishbiach, or the Sof Pogim, Rabbi Shimon says, that's Asur. But in the Reisha case, where it is also Hishbiach, or the Sof Pogim, but in the Reisha case, they're both there together. And since they're both there together, they both call the Hashbacha, and they both cause the Pogim afterwards. It's not just the addition of the Chulin that causes the Pogam later on, along with the Chuma. Here, from the beginning, they're both doing it, and from the end, they're both doing it. So therefore, in the Reisha case, he'll say it's Mutar, whereas in the middle case, he will say that it is Asur. How do we know that Rabbi Shimon does not believe that Isur is Mitzdarif Leheter, or even Isur V'Isur is no Mitzdarif according to Rabbi Shimon? It's not. Orla V'Kilei Kerem Mitzdarfim. If Orla and Kilei Kerem, they're Mitzdarif. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Mitzdarfim. So there you go. Rabbi Shimon says that you have Orla and Kilei Kerem. Each one independently, you can't do it. You have a Chatzi Shir of this and a Chatzi Shir of this. So now, when they fall in, what's the din? So we're talking about here the din of Bittul. The din of Bittul, when it comes to Orla and Kilei Kerem, is it has to be 200 to 1. 201 to be Batel, because they have, well, not only Asur Be'achila, they're also Asur Be'hana'ah. So the 201 Bittul. If you have Orla and Kilei Kerem, do you say that you're Mitzareif, the two of them together, and say, is there 200 Chulin Neged the Isur together? Or do we look at each one independently and say, is there 200 Chulin Neged the Orla? Is there 200 Chulin of the Kilei Kerem? And that's what Rabbi Shimon says, yes, same Mitzareifim. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you only need 200 against each part of it, whereas according to the Tanakhama, you need 200 against the joint amount. So you see from Mishimon that the Isur is not Mitzdarif the Isur. And that's why over here also, we're not going to say that Isur is Mitzdarif the Heter. There, Isur the Isur is not Mitzdarif. We are going to say Isur and Heter are Mitzdarif to make an Isur. But there is a question going to Rabbi Shimon Shita, is that we know Rabbi Shimon Shita from Makot is Makot Pukoshu. Rabbi Shimon believes you don't need any Shiurim. There are no Shiurim according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you get Makot, any Achila Pukoshu, you get Makot for. There's no Shiur by that. By Korban, maybe Bishogeg, there's a Shir Achila, there might be a Shirim over there. But there are no Shirim to getting Makot. So why does Rabbi Shimon talk about Isur of Mitzdarif? Ain't Mitzdarif? What does Mitzdarif mean according to Rabbi Shimon? Why do you need Shirim whatsoever according to Rabbi Shimon? Kol Shul is the Makot. So Tosfos asked the question, and he says, Gemara Me'ila asked the same question of Rabbi Shimon. It says there, Rabbi Shimon, Arlo V'Klaim Ain't Mitzdarfim. And Rabbi Shimon says, Kol Shul the Makot. And you know how the Gemara solves it over there? In mitztarfim doesn't mean they don't combine. It means in mitztarfim is a little bit longer than David. It says you don't need them to be mitztarif. There's a kol shul is enough. In mitztarfim means it's enough. You don't need a kol shul. So Tosfos says, why is the Gemara over there answer in mitztarfim means in mitztarfim you don't need anything. It's kol shul is asur. And over here when they say in mitztarfim, they're reading it literally. In mitztarfim means it's not mitztarif at all, and therefore 201 is enough with each one individually. You don't need to combine them to find out the 201. How come the Gemara reads it differently? So the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with a chiddush over here that distinguishes between the two different cases. That the Rabbeinu Tam says that over there, it's talking about orla b'kilakim shehem be'inayu. They're still intact below torovet. Then you don't need a tziruf. In that when the item or the Isser is intact, Rabbi Shimon believes that there is ain shiur. As no shiur means kol shehu is enough to be chayav. So therefore, when you say in mitztarfim, literally means you don't need the tziruf because kol shehu is enough. On the other hand, the case that we bring over here is talking about a case of tarovet. Because if you don't say ayidei tarovet, that Rabbi Shimon has a different din, then how does Rabbi Shimon ever have a case of bittel? According to Rabbi Shimon, you'll never have bittel. If Rabbi Shimon always believes that nothing is mitztaref, number one. Number two, is a kol shehu your chayav, how can you ever have a case of isur that's nitbatel? Because everything is asur b'kol shehu, and there's no bittel. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it can't be that way. It must be that when the isur is intact, then we say kol shehu chayav, there's no need at tziruf, you don't need anything at all. In tarovet, just like the Chamin believe that in tarovet, gezayit can be nitbatel, so too Rabbi Shimon believes a kol shehu can be nitbatel inside of a tarovet. Whatever it is, whether it's samach or matayim, whatever it is he needs. So Rabbi Shimon, aval heichad lo sheikh bittul, kagon heichad ikatam, chashvin like ilu haya isir be'en. When there's no sheikhut bittul, then we look at like flavor or something like that, then we look like as if it's be'en. And then the hatam ki ikar. There the tam is ki ikar. So if there's no bittol, then we say tam ki ikar, and the koshu stays alive. And you have a problem of isur bekoshu. If there is bittol, and the tam is no longer there, then it can be nitbatel. So it's a big chiddush that Rabbeinu Tam has in Rabbi Shimon. That koshu, generally when we say the koshu is osur, it means that it can't be batel. Says Rabbi Tino Sanz, you can't say that. Says that if you say that, then Rabbi Shimon has no bittul min haTorah. There's nothing batel min haTorah if you say that, and that won't make sense. So long come, Rabbeinu Tam, it says, we'll have to distinguish. This mashu works in different ways. Mashu, when it's be'en, for sure. If it's not batel, meaning that you can still taste the tam, mashu, you don't need a shear either. But if it's batel, then it will work. The batela will work to get rid of the kosher. Bitarovet, his bashu was like a kazayit of the chachamim or whatever shiur that the chachamim need in each instance. A very interesting in Rabbeinu Tam that distinguishes based on our conclusion of our Gemara versus the Gemara in Mi'ilah. Right now in this new case, very interesting case, Hawach Bara Dinafal Chavita de Shichra. This mouse fell into some beer. Astrei Rav Hau Shichra. Rav made this beer asur to drink. It's really, the Gemara's going to have difficulty understanding why Rav made it asur to drink. The bigger problem up front is, why was it asur at all? We're talking about sonin bitsonin, talking about cold beer, and you're talking about a mouse, which is also cold. So why can't you just take the mouse out and we're done? What's the problem here? So Tosfos suggests, so here's what I thought when I read this, but that the mouse has been there for... Well, that's a separate issue.
You don't have to tell anyone.
It's something you're
drinking yourself. So Tosa says that it's kavush. It's a case where it stewed in there for... Well, it's been in there for a while. So that we have a dinner of that kavush, or mevushal. That once it laid in there for a long time, then we worry about midrabonon, we worry about flavor being imparted to the beer. But nevertheless, the Gemara is now going to be challenged by this. Now, amar rabonon kamedir of sheshet, neimer kasavar, let us say that Rav holds notein tam lifgam is asur. It must be that Rav holds notein tam lifgam is asur, because there's no way the mouse is adding any good flavor to the beer here. So it must be that notein tam lifgam is asur. According to Rav, otherwise why would he make the beer asur? So Amalu Rav Sheshet. No, but almost over Rav notetam lefgam is mutar. Now, normally Rav holds notetam lefgam is mutar. Here we have a chidush because this is a sheretz. Tam mimas mois ubedile idish eminei. Mice are disgusting, and people stay far away from them. Va'afilu hochi asra rachmano. And nevertheless, the Torah still said that they're asur to consume. Hilkach, notin tam v'gam is nami asur. So too over here, there's notin tam v'gam is asur. So Rashi reads it. What does it mean, daham nimis? Uvelav Azara, Rashi says, even without the lav, nobody would eat it. So the fact that the Torah came and gave you a lav anyway tells you that the Torah is not interested in the fact that it's not Teitam Lefgam. Just why it makes an issue. Tosfos takes an issue with Rashi and says, what do you mean? Torah still has a day to tell you there was a lav. Even if people are b'dilei inishemineh, if the Torah didn't give you a lav, you wouldn't get malkot for it. You need a lav to tell you that you get malkot. So Tosfos adjusts it a bit and says that this is the way to read it. We should have made it mutar mishuma b'gam. Penotein tam nifgam ba'amuz mutar. Generally, I should have said the mouse, eating the mouse, consuming the mouse is not a problem at all because it's notein tam nifgam is mutar. That's what the Torah comes along by saying the lam tells you that notein tam nifgam in this case is asur. So if that's the case, now we have an explanation for Rav's position. Rav believes that notein tam nifgam in general is mutar. In this unique case, it's asur because it's the Torah comes out of its way to tell you, either going to Rashi to give you a lav, and even though people don't eat it, or going to Tosfot, even though it should have been mutar to eat it totally because it's no detan of gam, meaning that it's not even ochel. Nevertheless, the Torah comes in as machshivit ochel, by giving a lav, it's machshivit ochel, and that's why it's asur. So also over here, when it falls into the beer, even though it's no detan of gam, it should be asur. That's Rav Sheshi's position. So I'm going to Rav Sheshi, they come along, El Miata, Litame Lach V'Yavesh. If that's the case, then the mouse, the sheret, shibi mitame, other things, lach v'yavesh, whether it's moist or dried out. Amlam otolan, why do we have a mishnah, mitamim lachim, ve'im mitamim yaveshim? When it comes to shratzim, they're only mitame lach, they're not mitame yavesh. If we're talking about shratzim, are a chiddush, the gamre, they're a total chiddush in the first place, then why should it matter whether they're lach or yavesh when it comes to tuma? Just like it makes no difference by the isur of notin tam lifgam or notin tam the shevach, they're asur. So do by lach and yavesh, it should make no difference when it comes to the tuma that is being imparted over here. Why is there such a distinction? Now, that's not such a simple jump in logic. Tosfos says the logic jumps like this, which is, gabi tuma nami abichidish mashu metamei b'meshu pogem. Tosfos says, why is it by tum'ah, when we say something is spoiled, it's not mitame v'gam, it's not mitamei, because we have the pasuk by nevela that says only when it's called a nevela is it mitamei. If it's not called a nevela, it's not mitamei. So same thing over here. Lach and yavesh, you would have the same thing. Here, if you say no tam livgam is asur by the mouse, then so too, even when it's not moist anymore, even when it's no longer a sheret, it's yavesh, doesn't have the stesmet, it still should be in part tumah. And again, the Gemara is, vili tamech, shechvat zera should be the same thing. Tetame lach v'yavesh. If you say shechvat zera is also mos, and nevertheless, it's what mitamei. It still gives off tuma. Why were there to make a distinction between lach and yavesh? Why don't we just say the Torah is mechadish that it is mitamei, that it's mitamei whether it's lach or yavesh? There should be no distinction. So Allah Matznan, why is there a Mishnah that says mitamim lachim and mitamim yaveshim when it comes to shechvat zera? Elamayit chalameimar shechvat zera amar rachmano. The Torah says what's mitamei shechvat zera biruuya lazria, only if it has the ability to be mazria. That's only when it's still moist, not when it's dried out. So Achanami, when it talks about the shratzim, it says bimotam. They're mitamei bimotam when they die. Amar rachmano k'ein motam. Like at the time of death. At the time of death, they're still moist. They still have some life left in them, in the sense of they're not all dried out. So though too, they have a gzeret hakatuv over here. That's why there's a distinction between whether they are lach or yavesh. The Torah dictates for us whether it's kein motam or not, it's kein motam, or it's shechvat zera v'ein shechvat zera. By tuma, even though it's a chiddush, there's a gzeret hakatuvu, the lach v'lo yavesh. Again, according to Rav Sheshet, no tein tam divgam normally would be mutar, but according to Rav, he would suggest over here that it's asur because of the Chiddush HaTorah. Matkivah Rav Simi Minarda, umi mice? What do you mean? Are mice really mice? Right? And mouse is mice? Alo ole ashulchan milashel melachim? What are you talking about? It's a delicacy. It was on the shulchan melachim. The kings eat the mice. So Amar Rav Simi Minarda, lo kasha, habit de dabro, habit de mato. It depends. Depends what you're talking about. When you're talking about the Achvar Shel Yishuv, when you're talking about the city mouse, that is ma'is. That's disgusting and nobody consumes it. Achvar de Dabra, the field mouse, that people eat. Now Rashi says about the field mouse, a squirrel. Squirrel. Sounds like a squirrel. So he has the field mouse, or maybe the squirrel, is a delicacy, whereas the city mouse is ma'us. So we distinguish between them. There's the halacha, notein tam nifgam is mutar. When it comes to the mouse in the beer, lo yadana my time with the Rav. I don't know what Rav's reasoning is. Imishum because every no ten time gam asur v'leitilchadravate. Is it because Rav holds no ten the gam is asur against what I'm saying here? But the halacha is not like him. Oh, mishum because every no ten time gam is mutar. That normally it's mutar. V'achmar b'shichra is buchei mishabich. But no, an achmara in the sheichar is actually benefits the flavor. It makes it better.
But before we said it doesn't.
The Gemara says that what happens if a mouse falls into vinegar? It's a case like this by Rav Kahana, and he made it asur, where the mouse fell into the vinegar. So how mitrute imratate? Says, no, you got the case. That case was a unique case. Why? Because there, it already had deteriorated to the point where it broke into smaller pieces. So the sheretz, the mouse that was inside the vinegar, was no longer intact. It was now small pieces inside the vinegar. And what's going to be the problem? When you drink the vinegar and you have the vinegar, you're going to get a small piece of mouse with it, and you're going to eat it and consume it. And the isser of sheretz is bichadasha, the size of a lentil. Size of a lentil already is a sewer. So that problem is that now we have the parts already of the mouse are floating around, and those parts of the mouse in the vinegar are going to be big enough to make isur, but not necessarily big enough to be distinguished. And the person's going to use the vinegar, and they're going to consume a sheretz b'chayad asha. So that's why he made it a sewer over there. Ravina savar the shiure b'meya v'chad. He said, Ravina thought they should make it batel with 100 to 1. Amar lo gara mi truma. He says, no worse than truma. It should be able to be batel. It's not. Truma ole bechad b'meya. Amar lo tafkliva bar gizla Ravina. Dimma ke tavlin shil truma b'kdeira, dummy. Maybe it's like tavlin of truma in a kdeira. To lo batel tamayu. Their tam doesn't mean when it comes to normal things that fall in of truma, then you can talk about batelu tatam. But when you talk about spices that go into a dish, they don't work with the normal forms of bittul because the flavor extends throughout the whole dish and it's very hard to be batel. So over here, maybe over here you should say the same thing. So Rav Achai, shir b'chala b'chamshin, by vinegar he says it was 50 to 1, and Rav Shmuel b'rei the Ravika shir b'shichra b'shitin at 60 to 1. So over here, they're all determining what it should take to be batel inside of this vinegar. So you have one opinion that should be 100 to 1. You have one opinion that should be 50 to 1. And the one opinion that should be 60 to 1, which is standard bitul. What is the story with vinegar? That's what Tosfos Rashi says at the beginning of the Amud. He says, "Mi amrin achometz tamu kasheh." That when it comes to vinegar has a very pungent, strong taste to it. Vena sheretz mifigo letepo tam. The sheretz can't give off a negative flavor, or can't give off any flavor into the vinegar. Right? No tein tam nifgam, we wouldn't worry about it, because it would be no tein tam nifgam. On the other hand, since the chometz is so strong, it might be that it's unable to be pogain, the vinegar. The vinegar remains and it has a state, and it's not pogain, but it's giving flavor, the mouse gave flavor. So that's the question of the Gemara over here. And that'll be back to what we said before, maybe by shichra, shbuchay mishabach, I'm not sure that Rava meant to say that literally it's mishabeach, the shichra, but maybe to the same extent that the sheikhar, the beer, is strong enough where the achbar does not give it a negative flavor. So it doesn't give it a negative flavor. Maybe that's why the problem is by Rav over there. Just suggesting that, because otherwise it's hard to understand what he means that it's mishabeach, the shichra, that it makes the beer a better flavor with the mouse in it, but rather he's saying that it's not a negative flavor because of the strength of the beer. The Gemara says, and concludes over here, the chilchato, idi v'idi b'shitin. Idi means, in both of these cases, we will say that it is 60 to 1. The case of chala, the case of vinegar, and the case of shichra, of beer. When a mouse falls into the beer or into the vinegar, both of them require a telut of 60 to 1. V'chein kol isirim shebetorah. And that's applicable to all isirim in the Torah. 60 for 1 is the governing principle of bitul when it comes to notein tam. So Rashi over here comments, V'hein halacha rovachat b'Yisrael. That's the halacha b'chol tfutzot Yisrael. Min she'enu bino. If it's min she'enu bino, where flavor makes a difference, then it's batel b'shishim. Then it's batel b'shishim chutz mi chametz, except for chametz, because chametz is asura afilu b'koshu. Aval min b'mino b'mashu. But min b'mino, everybody agrees that it's a mashu, because min b'mino is not a problem of no tein tam, it's a problem of isur there, and since there's no b'delu tam, because the tam is the same, there it's also afilu b'koshu. And this Rashi over here is a problem for the Rashi we saw back. There's a Rashi in Samach Vav Amud Aleph that said the opposite. That's why everybody amended. If you go back to the Rashi, it's the Rashi of Kol Min on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, there Rashi seemed to come to the opposite conclusion. He says, the Kamad Paskin and Talav Hilchot Ha'achi Afilu Min B'Mino No Tein Tam. Rashi says, later on we passed him, Min B'Mino is also B'No Tein Tam. Chutz Mitevel V'Yayin Nesech. That's what Rashi said over here. So we saw Tosfos took issue with you. You have Girsa changes in the Bach as well as in the Masoret Shatz, and they reconcile with the Rashi over here. They say either it's a Ta'ut that fell into Rashi over here, or this was the Madura Rishona Rashi, the Madura Shnia. Rashi changed his mind, but they say that the Rashi over here is one that governs that Min She'enu Mino Batel B'Shishim B'Mimino B'Koshu, and therefore they amend the Rashi of Chol Min B'Mino B'Mashu, which is the first Rashi on the narrow lines on Samach Vav and Aleph, to reconcile or to corroborate what Rashi says over here. The last thing I just want to mention is Tosafot. Tosafot over here asks an unbelievable question, and how in Ruta Imrate, you have to see it inside. It says Yesh L'Tmoach Shav. How do we eat honey today? The legs of the bees get stuck in the honey, and therefore we're consuming the honey with the pieces of the legs of the bees. And that's exactly what we just said before, the case of the mouse, where the mouse broke into pieces, and then you're drinking the beer, you have a problem of ka'adasha. So over here, why shouldn't it be a problem that we are eating these bees' legs inside of the honey? But no, over here, even though it's pogam, we know that by sheretz atzmo, that it's a pogam to start with. Sheretz atzmo is ifkim from the atchila, there is no ten tam the pogam at all. So everybody agrees by the sheretz that it's a problem, even when it's pogam. Chay nir l'rabinu tam, devadei regle dvorim, came into atzamot be'almaninu mutarim. He says, no, the legs of the bees are classified like the bones of animals. The bones of animals are kosher. They are mutar. That the isur of nevela, the isur of non-kosher animal, only applies to their basar, not to their gidim v'atzamot. Da atzamot torim, ditzam b'nesechet, tarot atzamot ha-chamor tarot, raglei ha-dvorim ka-atzamot ha-chamor. They're like the bones of a chamor. This has to do with the things like glue and gelatin. From the bones, that why gelatin may not be a problem is because it comes from the bones. That's the basic heter of gelatin coming from the bones. So ba'adam rina nevarim in lahem shiur. What about the fact that we say that Ivarim don't have a shiur? Afilu pochod mikizait min amet, pochod mikadasha min asheretz. Hainu l'inyan tumah. That's only the inyan tumah. Could go into ika basar lo yev. There's some sort of flesh on them. Halavachi torim. Otherwise they're tor. Uliyan achila shaper damim. When it comes to achila, they're not a problem whatsoever. It's an unbelievable thing. So he's willing. Tosos Rabbeinu Tam is being willing to matir that you can eat the legs of the bee that are inside the dvash. Here it sounds like you don't even have not in the dvash. If you took a leg of a bee, you could eat it. You know, as long as there's no basar in it, you could eat the leg because it's atzamot. It's like a bone, and the bones are mutar. Maybe there's some basar in it, it's mitameh. But if there's no basar in it, it's not mitameh, and it's kosher be'achila. It's amazing chiddush out of this Tosfos about their honey in their days. Okay, we'll stop over here.